also even
Surah Al-Fatiha. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم المصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Our mental and emotional well-being in this life depends upon our concept and understanding of life itself. Whether we are happy in life, whether our emotional state is in high spirits, whether our mental ability is balanced, depends on what we think of life. What is our concept of life? What do we think of life? So, when we ask the question, what is life, then it should be answered with a natural response. It shouldn't be something that's made of or that we are taught, but what you really want, what you really think is life. It's answered by asking our own self, what do I want from life? What do I like in life? And the first thing, when we look at ourselves and what we want as a human being, what we want out of life, is that we want life to be everlasting. We want life to be forever. And this is a natural instinct of man, of human beings. They want it to be eternal. No one wants to die. No one wants to finish life. Everyone wants to live. If a person starts to fall in love with an eternal life, then he will start thinking about it. We like eternity, but because we are afraid of what it entails, because we are not sure regarding the fact that we will have an eternal life, then you see, we are afraid to face it. We are afraid to accept it. That is a fear that is inside of us. Otherwise, if someone believes that he's going to live forever, then he starts to think about life forever. Why do you think that you are thinking about establishing yourself, getting a education, a good job, amassing wealth in order that you may have security in life? You may have a house, children, some sort of security in life. That's why we do it for. The reason we think about life here, the next 40, 50 years, all of you youngsters who are here, when you are making plans, why are you making these plans? Why are you going to college? Why are you, for example, trying to look for jobs and better your jobs, improve your lifestyle, improve your life? The reason is because you know you're going to live here. Because we know that life is coming. And because of that knowledge, even though this knowledge is sort of foolish, this knowledge. But we do make plans for our retirement. I don't want to end up depending on my children. So I want a pension. I want an IRA. I want income when I won't be able to work anymore, so I don't have to depend on anyone else. This is our thinking, right? And we are thinking this because we, in our knowledge base, know that this situation will come to us. You will become old. Now, because we know this, that's why we plan for it. That's why we work hard for it. Why are you working all life hard? I mean, look at the amount of work you have done. How much have you worked? Every day, 8, 10, 12 hours of your day are spent in work or because of work. Half of your life is being spent in work. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this for? It's because you want to have security in life. You want to have that when your life is going to come to that age where you won't be able to work anymore, that you won't have to depend on others. That you can live respectfully, right? This is why you're doing it. But the problem is, right, in this case, the reason I said this is a foolish understanding is because of this reason, my friends. Do you know you're going to live till you're retired? Do you really think that you're going to live until you're old? Do you really think that you're going to live that long? Are you sure about that? Is your life guaranteed? You see, the life of this dunya, there is no guarantee. There is no certainty that you're going to live that long. I mean, we can die right now. We can die tomorrow, anytime. There is no certainty, right? Even though there is no certainty that you're going to live that long, but still you're working hard to make sure that if you do, your life is secured. Right? Now imagine this. There's no certainty we're going to live, but still we want to work hard in order to make sure that we are provided for. Now my friends, understand this much from here. If life of this world, if we look at the life of this world and we see there's no certainty in this, then Allah is trying to let us know that listen, if life of this world is uncertain and you don't know you're going to live until you retire, then, and you're working so hard for it, then won't you work hard knowing that something is going to happen that is certain? Death is certain. It's going to happen. So my friends, at the end when we look at this, we are afraid. The reason we don't think of our life in the hereafter is because we are afraid of what it means. We're afraid of death. So what do? We ignore our life in the hereafter. We ignore our death. Who speaks about death? I mean, really, for us, we are told by Allah and Ahlul Bayt and reminded about death, right? So we think of death. But tell me, do the non-Muslims think about death? Are you able to go to your workplace and speak about death there? Just imagine you saying to your colleagues at work, man, have you ever thought about death? You know what he'll do? First of all, he'll freak out. You'll call the boss and say, listen, I think we might have a case here. The way it is. I mean, he's speaking about death. Even the mention of death is taboo in this society. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to mention it. No one wants to think about it. They have pushed it on the back burner so much that they're hiding it way behind somewhere in their closet. They know it's going to come. They know it's a reality, but they don't want to think about it. And why? Because of they are afraid that they're losing what they have and not hoping for what they will have. And the first thing we know that human beings in their nature want is a life that has no ending. So, did Allah create this life to end, or did He create this life to go on forever? When He gave you life, did He give this life to you, you know, so that He can take it away? Or did He give this to you so that it can go on forever? This, my friends, is the question that I want you to think about. We don't think about deaths or the hereafter, life hereafter. If we did, then you know what? When we get sick, when we get ill, we are in pain, and this pain is excruciating. And when we go through that excruciating pain, what do we think about then? Is our life in our mind or not? Is our life in the hereafter in our mind or not? Do we say, oh, I wish I was in Akhirat so I wouldn't have to deal with these pains anymore? Is our mind tuned to think like that? Or are we thinking, oh, how do I get out of this mess? Get me a doctor. Get me some pills. Anything. Take me to the hospital. I want to get rid of this. You see, we are only worried about making the life here better instead of thinking that, you know what, the hardships that come here will not be there. So the more hardships I have here, I should be thinking, oh, how I wish I was there and I didn't have these hardships. You see the difference in attitude. This is the difference in attitude, my friends, of those who look at life differently. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Life should be forever. It should be eternal. Things that die do not make sense. Things that go away or are annihilated or finished do not make sense. They're not liked also. Look at what Prophet Ibrahim said when he saw the moon setting. He saw the sun rising up and he saw it set. He saw the moon rising up, he saw it set. And then he said, I don't like those things that go away. I don't like those things that die away. This is the natural response. If I have this life, my natural response is that I don't want it to die. I don't want it to finish. Ibrahim is speaking from his natural instincts. I don't like things that die. I don't like things that go away. You see, this is the natural instinct that we should have. What is our wish? Do we wish to live forever? Is that our wish? Look at the hajat that you ask on the Laylatul Qadr or any other night of Amal. When you make hajat, when you ask for duas or wishes, in those duas and wishes that you have asked for, in those duas and wishes that you have asked for, were you thinking about your real life? In the hajat that you asked for, you answered it for yourself. I don't need to know it. No one else needs to know it. You look at yourself. How much are you paying attention to your life? It's very clear from there. That am I thinking about this? Am I thinking of this? How much do you think of this? Whenever you want to fulfill your hajat and say, Allah, do this for me, do this for me. You know, when it comes to hajat, you know, now I'll mention, you know, the hadith. But before I mention the hadith, a little incident to lighten up the mood. Send aloud salawats. You know, people go and ask for hajat or duas for the most absurdest of things. Really minute things. Things that really don't make sense. But for them it has become so important that they need to ask for it. When you go before Allah, what should you be asking for? That's Allah. What are you asking for? You're asking for those little things that really don't make any sense, but because you have lowered yourself so much, meaning we as a human being have lowered ourselves so much, that those things become important for us. A rich guy, this happened in Mashhad, you know, in the haram of Imam Radha alayhi salatu wassalam. This person went to Imam Radha, and you know, he was a rich businessman, and he got into some problems. And so, you know, he needed, you know, some help. You know, he needed a lot of money. It was in the millions. A big businessman, rich man. And he had never gone to the haram very long time ago. This time he goes there. Right? He says, you know what? I'll try this door also. He went to all the banks that rejected his loans. So he said, you know, I'm going to try this door also. So he went to the haram of Imam. And as he entered the haram, he saw one other person there. There are many people there. You know, it's always a rush there. He saw one person who was very, you know, emotional there. And he was like shouting out to the Imam, "Oh Imam, help me. Where have you been? You see me, I'm in such a horrible state. Do something for me, this and that." And this rich guy is looking at him. He's like, man, this person must really have a big need. He's shouting in the haram, right? Emotional and all that. And he was like saying, "Imam, I need help. I need this, this and that." So, you know, he went to him and said, you know, I mean, he really, you know, he felt bad for him. So he went up to him and said, Mister, what's your problem? I mean, what do you need? What do you need that you're shouting so much this and that? You know? And he said, you know, I have a big problem this and that. I said, what is your problem? He said, I need 10,000 tuman. Yeah, the tuman. He said, I need 10,000 tuman. He's like, 10,000 tuman? You know, that's it? That's your problem? You know, so he said, here, I'll give you the 10,000 tuman. Stop bothering the Imam. I have a bigger issue with him. Salawat. And the guy, you know, he's like, yeah, Imam, thank you so much. You answered my prayer. Then he walked away. My friends, when we approach for hajat and we do things, look at our own selves. It's a reflection of our own ideology. What we ask for. What is our, you know, what is your question? Reflect your own ideology. What do you want? This is what I'm trying to get to. Look at yourself and really see yourself. Are you thinking about life in the hereafter? How much do you think in the day? In this whole day that went by, and this is the month of Ramadan, right? Other than the speech I gave yesterday, right? In this 24 hours, how much did you think about your life that you're going to live forever? How many times? See, this is very important for us to know. What kind of an ideology do we have? An old man came to the Prophet. This old Arab guy, Bedouin, came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, on such and such a day, in such and such a place, I helped you. I helped you. The Prophet said, yeah, Alhamdulillah. He says, and I want my reward for it. I want my reward for it. I helped you. So the Prophet said, all right, tell me, what do you want? I'm willing to grant it for you. anything. You help the Messenger of Allah, and as the Messenger of Allah, I'm giving you a guarantee. Whatever you ask me, I will fulfill this for you. He said, do you know what you want? The man said, yes, I know what I want. The companions, everyone is there. And so the Prophet said, tell me, what do you want? He says, you know what he says? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be with you in Jannat. I want to be with you in Jannat. Same place where you are. Now this is a big wish. Alright, I mean, he wants to be in Jannat. Okay, it's one thing you want him to be in Jannat. Maybe that will be done. But to be with Rasulullah in Jannat. I mean, that's something very hard. And so the Prophet asked him, when he raised this, he asked him a question. He says, did you think of this yourself? Meaning really, he wanted to see where he's coming from. Is something you heard and you said it, or is it really truly in your heart that you want to be like this? You see what the Prophet is saying. He wasn't trying to put him down or to be condescending. What the Prophet is trying to do to him is trying to make him think and to make him realize, is this a wish that you have from your own heart, or is it in your tongue that you learned it from a majlis or a, you know, someone else? And he said, no, it is from me. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. Obviously, you know, what will the Prophet say? Now he has already guaranteed him. He will give him whatever he wants. So the Prophet said to him, all right, it's done. It's done. You will be with me. But you will have to do something. You will have to help me. I'm making this great promise to you. But in order for me to fulfill this promise, I need you to help me. The Prophet asked for help. He says, "A'inni bi kathrat as-sujud." He says, help me by making sajda. By doing a lot of sajda, prostrations. I will fulfill this promise, but I want you to make sajda also, so it becomes easy for me to fulfill this promise. Now friends, when you look at it, how many of us are wishing that we could be with the Prophet? How many of us are wishing that? How many of us are doing that? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So here I just want to make, skip some things and right now just make it simple for us where the discussion is going. Alright? So if you're ready for it, send it out, salawats. Alright, I want to take this discussion from conceptual to physical. Until now we are talking about concepts and ideologies. I want to make it physical so it becomes easier for us to understand and grasp it. Alright? Very simple. What I'm explaining to you right now, I will make it easy. What is life? You want to know what is life? And I'm making it easy for you. How? Let me tell you. Life is three-dimensional. Life has three dimensions. And I'm giving this example to you so that you can physically put it in your mind as a tangible example. Life has three dimensions. It has a length, it has a width, it has a height. Three dimensions that life has. And these three dimensions, if you understand them, then you understand what life is. And each of these three dimensions I will explain in detail, so that we have a good understanding of life. So again, how many dimensions does life has? Three dimensions, right? There is the length of life, the height, and the width. Right? The length of life, my friends, is how long is this life. This is the length of life. The length of life is the time, the period. How long is this life for? How long are you going to live for? So if I ask you how long do you live for, you see our short-sightedness when we say, oh man, I don't think I'll live past 70 or 80. I'll be lucky if I get to 90. Basically, unlucky if you get to 90. Right? This is our short-sightedness when we think about the length of life. The idea that Allah is saying is that the length of your life is eternal. So if someone asks you, how long are you going to live? What should be your answer? Forever. You see, I'm living forever. Who said I'm going to die? Huh? Who said this life is going to be finished? The first aspect of life is the length of life. The sooner you get this fact in your mind that you're going to live forever, the easier it is for you to think about your life. And the easier it is for you to find happiness in this life. The reason we have problems in this life is because we think that life is going to end soon. That's the reason we get into mental problems. We have anxiety. We have depression. We get depressed. Our mood is off. Why is our mood off? Because we don't know we're going to live forever. That's why, if you knew you were going to live forever and nothing was going to happen to your life, then why would you be sad? Why would you be depressed? You won't be, my friends. This is the reason, the first thing to get in your mind is that I'm living forever. Nothing can stop that. Nothing can take that away from me. I'm going to live forever. Nothing is going to take that away from me. So the first aspect of life is that your life is eternal. This is the length of your life, the first dimension. The second dimension, I'm mentioning this briefly to you and I will explain it in detail. The next dimension of life is the breadth, the width of life. Width means your capacity to utilize the blessings that you have, the life that you have. How much is your capacity to utilize the life that you have, the blessings that you have? This is known as the width of life. This is the second dimension of life. So when you, for example, when we want to live forever, and we are told that, listen, this is your jail cell, you live here forever. What kind of life is that, that you want to live an eternity in a cell? If I want to live forever, I want room to roam around also. I want the capacity to utilize and to use and to take advantage of the things that I have. What's the use if I can't take advantage? You see, second thing is the width of life. What is your capacity of utilizing and using and taking advantage of what you have? Knowing that in this dunya you don't have capacity. Right? At iftar time you're so hungry you can eat a bowl, but half a plate of food is enough for you. Can't do more than that. Can't eat more than that. You see why? Because of the fact that our capacity is restricted here. Right? So what is the capacity of life? Life must have a capacity. And the third dimension of life is the height of life. And the height of life, which is known as irtifa, the height. You know, the fact is that, you know what? If I have a long life, I want to make the choice of where I want to be. Where do I want to be in life? What position? Where do I want to be in life? There should be a height of life, not something that, you know what, you're at a low state in life. What's good about being in a low state of life? I want to be in a high state of life. This is the height of life. Life is three dimensions, my friends. That's it. Understand what I'm saying until here. Tomorrow, inshallah, I'll start explaining each and every one of these aspects in detail. What these three dimensions of life are. So that when we understand these dimensions, then really, my friends, there are two ways of teaching. There are two ways of teaching. One is if I can spoon feed you and force feed you, in that case, you know what? You will take in what I give you, but what you're taking in really will not help you. You know, there's another way of education where you don't force feed anyone. You don't feed anyone. You want them to reach that understanding themselves. And when they reach that understanding themselves, then you see that yes, they have understood, they have been educated. And this is why, for example, you know, I don't want to you say that, well, Allah says this in the Quran, Imam says this in the Hadith, so you better believe it. You know what? I can do that. I can bring the Hadith, I can bring the Ayat, and you know what? Force you to believe in it and say, you know, Imam believes it. But would you really believe in it? Would you really understand it? Would you really comprehend it? No, it's better that you reach that understanding yourself. And that you reach the understanding that this is what I want. Naturally, this is what I want. That is a better way of learning. That's why Allah never forced anyone to believe. He didn't say, you know, you better believe, otherwise, you know, you'll die. No, He never said that. He never threatened anyone with the loss of life or death or harm in this dunya. He never held a gun on our head and said, believe. In fact, He said the opposite. La ikraha fiddeen. There is no compulsion in religion. You know, you want to believe, you believe. You don't want to believe, you don't believe. It's to your own loss. Why? Because He wants us to reach the understanding of Tawheed and the oneness of Allah Himself, our own self. Reach it yourself so that you can be a mu'min. This is, my friends, this is where teaching is very important. And that's why I want to make sure that, you know what, I want you to reach that state of the meaning of life. And when you reach that state, then you will be exhilarated. You will be happy and you will understand that this is what I want. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Just one thing I will leave you with for today, right? And that is, in this life, we came in different times and different eras. We were put in this era in 2012, right? We were put in this era. And everyone lived in different times. We, you know, we love Ahlul Bayt, we love the Prophet. But in this world, we can't see them. One of the benefits of the life there is that everyone is going to live together at one time. Everyone is going to live together at one time. Do you know what that means? It means that you will live in the same time as Rasulullah is living. You're living in the same time that Imam Ali is living, that Fatima al-Zahra is living, that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein is living. Can you imagine that? How much wishes do you have to see the Prophet and the Imams? There, you are living in the same time as they are. The same time as they are. To know that the Prophet is alive right now in my time, How would that make you feel? To know that Imam Hussein is alive in my time, how would that make you feel? Friends, this is the blessing of Akhirat. For a mu'min, he's able to live together. If you can't see him, they will see you. Maybe we can't see him. At least knowing that, because we are too far away from them. We won't be in their neighborhood. There's no, inshallah, if we try, we might be in their neighborhood. We'll make dua for that. But at least it's for sure that we won't be next door to Imam Hussein. You know, if you have plans or dreams of being next door to Imam Hussein, that is impossible. You cannot be next door to Imam Hussein. You can't be the neighbor of Imam Hussein, because the neighbor of Imam Hussein is Abul Fazl Abbas. He's next door to Imam Hussein. We can't be like him. So at least we live in the same time as they do. Isn't that something to look forward to? Isn't that something to cherish? To rejoice over? That I'm living in the same time as the Prophet is living. My friends, this is one of the pleasures of Akhirat. It's something to dream for. It's something to strive for. It's something to sacrifice our lives for. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد.